71, please. Psalm 71. Glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. Psalm 71. Let's stand and read God's Word today. Just the two verses here. Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power unto to everyone that is to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God today. I pray that You'd help us to be mindful of the fact that it is our responsibility to pass it on. It's our responsibility to continue to live our life in such a way that people can see a difference in our lives. They can see that we are different from the world. And we pray, Heavenly Father, You'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God, as we speak about this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago when I used to preach on this verse, and now when I'm old and gray-headed, that kind of goads me now, amen. It never used to goad me. Julie was cutting my hair the other day, and I told her, I said, where are you getting all that white stuff? She said, well, you know what I could do. I said, no, it's okay. I'd rather have a little longer now. But anyway, we do grow gray-headed. Some people just grows out. But anyway, we are responsible in our lives to continue on and go as far as we can go. Someone said to me, he said, you retire? And I said, not until God takes away my tools that God has given me. One of the tools of the preacher is his voice. And secondly, his mind. They say that's usually the first thing to go. But anyway, they don't mind anyway. But I'd hope that we as Christians would allow ourselves the wonderful privilege of keeping serving God. There is nobody too old to teach a Sunday school class. Those are the kind of people I want to get a hold of. Those are the kind of people that are not just trying things. They have proved some things, and now that they know that it works, and now they can give it on to the next person, to the next generation. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Many of us have had that privilege of being a child in a Christian home. Had the privilege of Daddy and Mama reading scriptures to us. Had the privilege of first time we were ever away from Mama was in the nursery. Had the privilege of going to vacation Bible school, and had the privilege of going to Christian camp, and had the privilege of going to youth conferences. Some of us have had that wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home that loves God with all their heart, with all their soul, all their mind. Grew up in a Christian farm that everything stopped on Sunday, except for the essentials of feeding the cows and milking the cows and feeding the pigs and making sure the sheep had their food and the chickens were and all the eggs were taken out of the nest but everything else stopped. There was no tractor driving during that time. I remember one time. My dad had left. I don't know what happened, but he had left one of the tractors out in the field. And on Sunday afternoon, he says, let's go get that thing. I don't want to leave it out there. And so on our way home, I was driving the tractor, and my dad was behind us in the pickup. And all of a sudden, my aunt came by. And she opened up her window, and she commenced to just put it on my dad. Claire, you know you shouldn't be doing work on Sunday. He said, Mabel, I'm not doing work. I'm just bringing. You know that God's word. Boy, she just gave it to him. He said, and so I stopped. He said, where are you going? I said, I ain't driving that tractor. She was my Sunday school teacher. You get on that tractor, boy. And we got a hold. We didn't. And so when I got a little older, teenage years, we bought a brand new John Deere tractor, a great big one. And my cousin Dwayne, you know, remember Dwayne, you know, leave it alone, Dwayne. My cousin Dwayne, he pestered me about it. He says, that thing loud? I said, oh, loud. He said, man, we all go listen. I said, we can't do that. Boy, you don't start vehicles up on Sunday morning on Sunday. And, he said, come on, you can just start. Wouldn't you know? I don't know where my dad is. I get out on that great big old, I think it was a 4020 John Deere. It's a brand new one. And I fire that baby up and backed it out just a little bit. Guess who comes around the corner?
I put it in there and shut it off. But anyway,
I grew up that way. I grew up that if there was an evangelistic meeting, we were there. There was no question about that. Even if it was during some very, very important things that's supposed to be going on farm, we stopped. We went to the services. Amen. Never missed a missionary conference. Never missed evangelistic meetings. Never missed church. That's how I grew up. In fact, when you went into Midland, there was nothing open on Sunday. Nothing was open. You couldn't even buy gas. And that's the kind of guy I was privileged, as the scripture says here, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. As a man of God, we are reminded in the Bible that we have a great and awesome responsibility. God said that he will judge. And we're reading the Revelation now, and it says unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. And that angel is the proclaimer, and it illustrates the pastor. And God calls us to great responsibility as we are a passionate church, that we would not let anything slip. We wouldn't let anything fall, that we would continue on no matter what. It's not out of popularity. It's because of the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. There's some things that I will tell you and have to say to you, and I don't want to say that. I don't want to have to fuss with you. I don't want to ask you where your this is and that is, but I'm going to tell you something. God's Word tells me that's my responsibility. The Bible says, know the flock. Know them. And he said that we're to preach them. We're to teach them all the things that are in the Word of God. So, God's man has refined it, his responsibility, number one, to preserve the Word of God. It is my responsibility to preserve. When I hear these people going around the country telling me that we don't have the Bible anymore, there's better versions out there. No, the Bible says I'm supposed to preserve the Word of God that was given to me. I'm supposed to preserve that. I'm supposed to fuss with people when they say, well, I'd rather have this. No, we'll take the authorized version of Heritage Baptist Church. The way it is. It's going to be that way. The Bible says also that man of God has a responsibility to teach people to obey the Word of God. Not only to know the Word of God, but to obey it. It's also his responsibility to proclaim the Word of God to our generation. Our generation is around 27 to 30 years old. 27 to 30 years, that's a generation break. Let's see, I'm going to be, anyway, how old are you?
37.
Well, there's a generation. We're different. He's a younger generation than I am. Amen. I used to be able to say, well, there's some older generation, but I'm kind of getting in that generation business. But anyway, let's see. You're 37. Who is 17, 16? Jim, you are not 17. You act like you're 17, but you ain't. Is anybody here that's how old are you, Kevin? Yeah, see, he's the next generation. See. So these are generations. And God's Word said, I am to take it to this generation, my generation. And I'm looking at some of you out there that are my generation. And then I'm to take it to the next generation. And then the generation to come. That's my responsibility, to continue to preach the Word of God. Amen. So to proclaim the Word of God to our generation, transmit the Word of God to the next generation, and to keep the Word of God pure, and to keep the Word of God unadulterated. It is our responsibility. I get so flabbergasted, if that's a word, with some of these preachers now stand up and say, well, somebody told me the other day, he said they were listening to a preacher, and he says, well, that's not the way it is in the original. And I'm going to say, I want to say to the guy, were you there? Do you know the original? You have an autographed copy of the Word of God? None of us do. Nobody has an autographed copy because the men of God in years ago, they preach out. I got this brand new Bible. I'm so tickled about it. Thank you so much. Guess what I got in the mail for my birthday? Brother Ouellette sent me a new Bible. Man, I'm going to be, this is a year of the Bible for preacher, amen. I never get a new Bible. Man, I tell you, oh, this is nice and this is nice, amen. And I'm going to use this for preaching out of here. And I'm going to use his small one to go when I'm preaching other places. But, I get so upset with people trying to tell me and dummy down the Bible and saying it's not important. Well, how come God said the words of the Word of God are important? How many times did they say He refined the Word of God? 7 times. It's refined. Thus saith the Lord God. And I'll go into some of that tonight. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy, his son. For 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, if you look in there. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of his kingdom. I think that's pretty important, don't you think? Read that over. Look what it says. I charge thee. He said, I want you to know, I'm putting this to you. I want you to know that you better understand, this is written to you, friend. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Sounds like it's pretty important, don't you think? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. The whole counsel of God. Preach the Word. By the way, if you didn't get one of these, and thank you, sister, for making these up. If you didn't get one of these, you need to take one of these home for you. Even if you were here on January the 1st, 2017. If anybody wants to know what the preacher believes, there you go. That's got enough to crucify me on. Are you, man? You ought to get it. Put it in your car. Listen to it. Figure that we're not piddling around. We really believe the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. How many got one? How many got one of these? How many listened to it? Does it sound pretty good? No, you listened to it. You got it. Okay. I'm going to listen to mine. I want to listen again. I want to remind myself. Paul the Apostle said to him, preach the Word. And listen to what he said. Be instant in season. Out of season. Oh, boy. He's talking to the preacher, isn't he? Look what has it said. It be instant in season, out of season. What's the next word? What does it mean to reprove? You fathers reprove your children. You fuss at them when they do wrong. Don't you? Reprove them. You correct them. Next word. Reprove. Exhort. I saw some people on the Green Bay team today. They were being exhorted. I saw some boys yesterday, Seahawks. They were exhorted, but they didn't take the exhorting, I guess. Amen. To exhort. Get out there and do it. Are you kidding me? Get out there. Come on. Come on. Life depends on it. He said, exhort. And what does he say next? With what? All long-suffering. In other words, keep it up. Keep it up. If they don't get it, do it again. If they don't get it, do it again. A young preacher came to the church one time. He started in the congregation. The congregation voted him to be the pastor. And so, first Sunday, he preached this magnificent sermon. Next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. Next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. Next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. On the eighth Sunday, somebody came up and said, preacher, you're preaching the same sermon. He said, well, I'll go to the next one. And finally, somebody caught on. You know, sometimes we come here not willing to be exhorted and reproved. And we walk away and we think all these different things and say, well, I don't agree with the preacher on that. And I don't agree with the preacher on that. And I don't agree with it. But you know what? You got to take what the Bible says. You got to take what the Bible says, whether you agree with it or not. And if you don't agree with it, thank God you got a preacher to stomp on your toes once in a while and say, hey, you're out of line. Get right. Get up. Get going. Exhort. Rebuke. Amen. law, long-suffering, and what's the next one? Doctrine. This morning I taught you doctrine. I taught you doctrine of salvation this morning. I'm gonna run on a series. Joe Mark is gonna get in my way one Sunday. I'm gonna run a sermon on the doctrines of the Word of God. Today's sermon is the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. And I got another sermon already ready. I can't wait to preach next Sunday. I'm telling you what, it's the greatest illustration I've ever read and ever heard. And I said, you know what? Our people need that. They need that illustration of salvation. And then he goes on and he says, in doctrine, for the time will come, could that be today in our country? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, what they like, what they want, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's people today who say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is the way I'm going to do it. No, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it the Bible way. Can I have somebody say amen? You're supposed to do what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord God. In these days that are coming towards us, and we are certainly fast, if not here, there's people that are turning away their ears from the truth and turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of the ministry. That's a responsibility for all of us. He's exhorting us. You know, when the Bible talks about things in the of people, that's talking about us too. Hey, make it part of your own. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna serve God in that way. The last century, we were blessed with great giants like D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and Sam Jones and DeWitt Talmage and Ira Sankey and R.V. Clearwaters and Archer Winninger and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and R.G. Lee and Myron Cederholm and Dr. Weeks and Dr. Rice and Dr. Jones and Dr. Mercer and Dr. Allen and Lester Roloff and Bill Rice and Monroe Parker and Glenn Shunk and Bernie Fry and H.A. Harry Ironside. Most of those people, I heard them preach. And many of those people shook their hand and became friends with them. They're gone. My father-in-law, when I was a young preacher at 22 and 23, he knew all the great old preachers that were in their 70s and 80s. And that's who he ran with. And guess who I ran with? I ran with those guys, but it was in 7 to 10 years. My father-in-law was gone, and all those guys were gone. These men stood the test. Stood up when everybody else was leaving. Said, no, we're not gonna move. We're gonna stand. And they did. But then the next generation, the 27 to 30-year-old different age group came in, the next. And all of a sudden, the next generation came. It's incredible. See what's going on in this world today. They taught us the Bible and how to find the truths in this blessed book. That the Bible was a holy book and not just a textbook. It was the holy Word of God that we could, without question, believe the Bible without reservation. Thus saith the Lord God. They taught us how to pray. They taught us how to soul win. They told us to get out of college and go start your own church. They taught us to separate and live a separated life in the world that is so terrible today. Dr. Bob Jones and many other guys used to quote this great poem that I'm about to read. It's called Building the Bridge for Him by W.A. Drumsgull. An old man traveling a lone highway came at the even, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight den. The swollen stream felt no fear for him, but he stopped when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength in building it here. The journey will end with the ending day. You never again pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide?" The builder raised his gray old head. "Good friend, on the path that I have come," he said, "there follows after me today a youth whose feet will pass this way. 'Tis chasm which has been naught to me, to that fair-headed boy maybe a pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him." That's what every one of you daddies are out there to do for your children. There's a lot of things you've gone through in your life. You've seen some things. You've watched things take place, and you said, "No, I'm not going to go that way, and I'm not going to." And you have taken your stand. That's why you're at Heritage Baptist Church. This is where I'm standing. If nobody else stands, I'm going to stand here. And now you've got some boys that are following you and some girls that are following you. It's about time you understand that the next generation needs somebody to build a bridge. Needs somebody to build a bridge. Paul wrote to Timothy as he passed the torch for his generation to the next. He said, "Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you." Chapter 1, verse 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hands." Paul the Apostle had led him to the Lord, and seems to be, he's talking about putting on the hands, must have ordained him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told him, he said, "I want you to do one thing, brother. I want you to stir up the gifts within you." Boy, every one of you men have gifts in your lives, and so do you ladies. You got great gifts. Hey, don't let them go to waste. Don't let them go to waste. There is so much to do. So many people to help. So many people, so many needs. I watch you pulling into that bus and all them little boys and girls. And let's face it, they don't got a hope. But they do, because they come to Heritage Baptist Church and you preach at them, you teach at them, you help them to listen about Jesus Christ. You give up your Saturday mornings to go out and tell them about Jesus Christ and their parents. They got a hope. Jack Hyle said, if there's a teenager that has one adult, just one adult that cares for him, that kid can make it. That kid can make it. A lot of our brothers have been forgetting this. My friend, the answer is in your lap. It's called the Bible. Just read it. You've got to tend the fire or it'll go out. I was going to, but I didn't think I could do a very good job of it. I was going to bring my steel and my flint. I found a beautiful piece of flint up down at Camp Castle Rock. And I can throw sparks. I mean, I can throw them. I don't know if you ever camped when I've lit the fire with a flint and a stone, oh, a flint and a steel. And you know, once you get it going, and there's a spark, and it gets in that little tinder, you start blowing and blowing and blowing. You can't blow too hard, or you blow it out. But you can't do it so soft, or it'll go out. And just blow and blow and blow and blow, and all of a sudden you add a little more tinder, a little more tinder, a little more tinder, and then a little more fuel, and before you know it, you got a roaring fire. You got to tend that fire. You can't let the fire go out in your home. You got to keep working at it and keep working at it. You say, "But preacher, I had a family call me up and tell me, we just can't do it anymore. We're done. Just can't do it anymore." I said, "What do you mean you can't do it?" He said, "That boy of ours, we spank him, we spank him, we spank him, we spank him. He won't listen to me, he won't listen. Man, he just driving mama nuts and driving me nuts, and I just don't know what." And I said, "Don't quit! Don't quit! said, what do you know about it? Well, I said, your father-in-law got a lot of whoopings. Mom and Dad didn't quit. Didn't quit. And I said, that boy will probably be a preacher someday. Because, boy, do I have the illustrations. As of right now, he's doing pretty good. But, boy, when he was little, I thought for sure they were going to jail. And if you don't get to the point of almost going to jail for that kid, you're in trouble. Can you believe that password required? To change your password, first enter the correct password. No! I'm preaching. Now I got a dead screen. Anybody know anything about that? You idiot, get out of here. Excuse me. Now they want a new one. That has never happened to me. There, I have a new password, and I can preach. It never happened with me, Doc, when I was always in my paper. No. But I'm high tech, you know. Doc. Paul said to Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. The old devil wants us to be ashamed of the old-fashioned ways, doesn't he? He wants to be ashamed. Oh, that won't work anymore. You got to try new things. You got to go at other people, and you got to get down the gutter with the other people so that you win them. God never wanted us to go down to the pig pen and get down in the garbage to win the garbage. The Bible said we're supposed to lift them up, pull them out, pull them out. Paul says, "Don't you be ashamed, Timothy." The old devil wants to be ashamed of the old pulpit-pounding preachers. The old devil wants us to be ashamed of the old fellow that just won't quit. The old devil wants us to be ashamed of the old stomping of the preacher stomping on your toes. You don't like that anymore. Hey, there's better ways of doing it, you know. The old devil wants us to fall on our face. The old man of God used to tell it like it is, according to the Word of God. He didn't know anything what they called whitewash. Well, the apostle also said to young Timothy, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. That really bothered me, a form, because when I think of form, is I think of an imitation or something that's not. That's not what that Greek word is. That Greek word comes from the word metamorphosis. It means the actual form. It means a semblance. It means a form befitting the thing, a truly expressing the fact, the very form of. So when Paul said, hold fast the form of sound words, he was saying, you do exactly what it said before. Number four, he also said, be strong. That's quite a command, I'll tell you what. It was not easy for Paul, nor was it easy for Timothy, nor easy for us to be strong. There are things all over the world, all over the place, trying to shoot at us for standing true to the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of every time I go someplace and somebody pokes fun at my King James Bible. I wonder this. I've never heard them poke fun at the ESV. I think that's a big Bible out there now. Oh, that's the best. Well, if that's the best, it's interesting. I never hear them poke fun at even the Living Bible, which has, I forget, a third of the Bible we have. I never hear him poke fun, but I always hear him poke fun at the King Jimmy Bible. That's what they're calling it now, the King Jimmy Bible. I'll tell you something. God said, you don't take from or add to that book. God said, it is preserved. If it's If it's rotten in some place, that means it's not preserved, right? So it's preserved. He said, be strong. Then he said, he told him to commit it to others. That's our job is not done until we pass on. My job of pastoring is not done until I die. I was pretty interested. Michael is retired, but he told me, he says, I got more work my wife puts me in than I ever had at work. Easy, sister. Thank you. You can give me $5 afterwards. You said I wouldn't do it. I don't see in the Bible where it says retired. Now, in the Old Testament, when the high priest, at 50 years old, they're no longer to carry on the strenuous work of the sacrifice. But they still were there to serve. I don't know about you, but you like it or not, this gray hair gets me in more places than it's ever got me into. My dark hair ever got me into. Funny thing how people listen to the old man now. Say, you've been there. You've done that. Yeah. I heard a guy tell me yesterday when I did the funeral. He said, I wouldn't take your job for 1,000,000 years. I don't know how you do it, preacher. I said, because I want to help some people. It's not easy to do that. Preach an 8-day-old baby's funeral or a 53-year-old lady's funeral. That's not easy. Cried through the whole, both of them. My heart just yearned for them, but I'm going to tell you something. I gave them some hope. Bobby King said, I've never seen anything like it. You could not get another person in the Hillcrest Mausoleum. You couldn't get another person in there. In fact, every one of them prayed the sinner's prayer yesterday. Thursday. You say, well, maybe they didn't mean it. Well, maybe some did mean it. Why do you have to be so negative about it? But I gave them some hope. I gave them some peace. Well, I didn't. Jesus did. Amen. You know, we're to commit these things to others. And the things that I hast, thou hast heard of me, of many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it continues on. You stand at the pulpit, other men hear you, they start standing in the pulpit, they start preaching the Word of God, they preach it over in junior church, they preach it in Sunday schools. Hey, that's what it's supposed to do, to teaching others also. Here's a program for every generation. Generation is in the late 20s and 30 years apart. Paul taught it to Ananias. Timothy taught it to, Paul was taught by Ananias. Timothy was taught by Paul. Faithful men were taught by Timothy. Others also were taught by other faithful men. Paul says to young Timothy, pass it on. And he says, Timothy, keep which that is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling, opposition of science and falsely so-called. He says, I want you to keep the Word of God. Very interesting. Phulasso, which means to keep, to observe, to beware, to keep, to save, to guard. Even has this idea of a military where they guard prisoners of war. That they will not escape. They guard a person so they remain, the others would remain safe. Lest he suffer violence and despoil and so on. He says, you're to keep. He says, that's your job as a minister. You're to keep these things. Therefore, this is what we've been taught. We've been taught to be unashamedly hardcore Baptists. Don't be ashamed of being a Baptist. We've been taught to be unashamed Biblicists. Thus saith the Lord God. We've been taught to be unashamed fundamentalists. Though that word is getting thrown around a lot and kind of hard to say it anymore because it gets this idea of the fundamentalist Muslims. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that the Authorized Version, the King James Version, is the only Bible I use, that I believe this is the only Bible for the English New Testament. Let me read to you what A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer is a great man of God. If you can find a book, A.W. Tozer, grab it and bring it to me. I'll be more than happy to take it from you. Anything that is new does not matter. Anything that mattered does not need to be revised. That's what A.W. Tozer said. He's a brilliant scholar of the Word of God. Let me read that again. Anything that is new does not matter. Anything that mattered does not need to be revised. Experience should tell us that everything that has stood the test of time and has been used of God in a more solid foundation, why would we want to take that Bible away from us? It has stood the time. 1600s, 1611, that's when we got it. Kind of like our 1911 pistols. That's a good one, amen. But 1611, 1711, nobody said anything. 1811, nobody said. 1911, nobody said anything. That's 400 years. So, experience should teach us that everything that has stood the test of time and has been used by God in great solid foundations of the faith, why are we monkeying with it? Would you explain that to me? So let me tell you something. You are in a minority in Great Falls. You go to a church that preaches the King James, the Authorized Version Bible. You're a minority. But 50 years ago, you wouldn't have been. I remember a guy named Jim Clark, who was a member of our church at Hope Baptist Church. He brought in the Phillips translation. That was probably in 1950. And he got up, and my pastor asked some folks to read some scriptures in Wednesday night, and he got up and read something. And my pastor says, that's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. This is my Phillips translation. Oh, he thought he was something else. And my pastor just about had a fit right there. That's over 50 years ago. 60 years ago. Yeah, he fits the fit. And I'll tell you what, it always bothered me because Jim was a cousin of mine, but once he did it, it just seemed like he just, hey, if that's the Word of God, it's God's Word, right? Why would you want to fight over something? I thought, you know, I was a kid, 10 years old, I'm going, that's not right. You know what I didn't think was right? His attitude, his behavior. The way he was trying to make himself so. You tell me, when you're at a... I'm a chaplain for benefits. And I pitch a fuss all the time. They give them Bibles away. They give the ESA, whatever they call it, Bible. They give that out at the hospital now. And the chaplain, he said, I know Doc Shearer, he don't like that. You know what? I don't. And I tell him, I said, why don't you give him the King James? What's wrong with the King James? Oh, but Pastor, they're just some archaic words. Thus saith the Lord is not too archaic. Now, I know there's some words in there I have to look up. And by the way, this is a great Bible, the Define King James Bible. It's underneath. It's got a few words there. Sometimes it says blaspheme. It says speak of God in an irreverent manner. When I was a little boy, I understood blaspheme, even if I didn't understand it. Amen. I'm unashamed of Baptist. Capital B, capital A, capital P, capital T, capital I, and however else you spell it. I'm not only a Baptist in practice, I'm a Baptist in name. And I want you to know I got my shingle out. Because I believe that when a person gets saved, he needs to get baptized. And John the Baptist was around at one time, amen? That's supposed to be funny. Thank you very much. I'm only saying I'm a member of a local church. I believe that God teaches us we ought to belong to a local church. We're supposed to bloom where we're planted, amen. I hear people that still belong to their church way back home, and when something hurts, why don't you call your pastor down there in Mississippi, have him come up here and come to the hospital and be with you, amen. I used to laugh when I was at the First Baptist Church out in South Dakota. Had a lot of people give money to Lynchburg, Jerry Falwell, you know. And I could tell because I'd go to their home. They had a big old gold brick, you know, that they paid over $1,000 for the gold brick, you know, so he could build his new university. And I'd see him come in there with them great big old Bibles, you know, that he'd give away on his TV show and all that stuff, you know. And somebody said something about that in church one day. And I didn't have to say nothing. Somebody else says, yeah, let old Jerry come up here and bury the dead and go see them babies get born and kiss them on the forehead. And let old Jerry come and visit you when you're sick. You can't even take care of your own pastor and you're sending money off. I didn't say nothing. I just... Go ahead. Amen. Y'all belong to a local church. I know families that don't belong to a local church. I feel sorry for them. You're downtown, you're passing out tracts, and they say, where do you go to church? Well, I go to, wow, who's your pastor? Well, my pastor is Dr. Diddly Diddly down here in Tennessee. Well, where do you go to church at? Well, once in a while we'll go over to the Heritage Baptist, but we're a member over here. Boy, that doesn't tell me much. Does it? So you ought to be unashamed of me. I belong to a local church. This is where I belong. Hey, by the way, we're not perfect. Give me 2 minutes and I'll find that out and give you a day and you'll find out about me. I'm not perfect. I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of things going on in my life, and so do you. But thank God for John 1:9, still in the book. Amen. Still in the book. Yeah, we got our problems. Hey, let me say this. You got a perfect home? Wife ever yell at you? Husband ever yell at you? Ever get this? Oh, don't look at me like that, Michael. She does too. And do we live in a perfect home? I don't know. No. But boy, it sure is nice. All the rest of it is nice, amen, except for a few little bumps in the road in our homes. I'm glad I'm married. Glad I got a wife. Glad I got somebody that I'm not alone. Ain't that right, sister? Ain't that right, sister? Nice not to be alone. Yeah, we got problems. All of us got problems. Come on now. All of us have a flat tire once in a while. All of us run out of money before the week is done. All of us get sick. All of us have something going on. By the way, pray for Mrs. Moore. She had an ankle surgery, and then she got something happened, taking some pills, and you pray that she'd be all right. Amen. I'm unashamedly a member of the local church. I'm unashamedly a soul winner. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a fellow who's called himself a Baptist and doesn't win souls regularly. I preach this as a sermon, so I'm going to read what I preach to these guys. I don't know that they like this or not, but I said, these preachers that are paid and staff men that are paid to do God's work, I told a group of preachers that it was preaching is we don't. Why don't you give back the money that you take every week for not doing what God told you to do in the first place? It got real quiet in the building, amen. Bible says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. That's all of our job. That's not just the preacher's job. That's all of our jobs. You know people I'll never meet. You know, you run into people I'll never run into. You see people in different situations that you can tell them about Jesus Christ. Do your job. You're a Christian. You say, I don't like your attitude. Well, I don't like you start changing God. That's what I said to him. It was at a big national meeting. I preached this. Have mercy. Brother John, I was preaching at Rosemont, and Pastor Johnson came up to me and said, boy, preacher, that's a good preaching, brother. I said, man, it's scary when I'm preaching at them old guys out there. Amen. I know what it is to live in a little hamlet of 298 people living in a town, but I also know that I'd win people to Jesus. I pastored in a church of 627. I led the president of the bank to the Lord. I led a number of people to the Lord there. I led the lowly, and I led the high class people. I led them in the I used to be a mess. And they were heading to the hospital, scared to death. She said, Preacher, pray for me. I said, what do you want? Holy shit, I want to be sure I'm saved. I said, man, I'm dead. I've led them to the Lord. We're all the way to the hospital. Led them to Jesus, amen. I came in to see my banker. And he went out. Heart attack. Gone. Brought him back at the hospital. And he said, I need to talk to you about something. I said, what's that? He says, I want you to tell me about heaven. And he bowed his head and asked Jesus to come into his heart. If you're willing, they're there. Man, I don't think you ought to go to a grocery store when there's 400 people in line and everybody's screaming because, you know, it's like Walmart. There's only one cash register open and 400 people in one line, you know. You grasp about that too? I don't think that's really a good time to tell them about Jesus, amen? It's not, they'll take your track though, I promise you that. I say, hey, got something to read when you're not so busy and you're off your feet. I see you're awful busy today. Be kind to them. Oh my goodness, be kind to the poor. But I saw a lady the other day, her feet were just bothered. She's probably about, well, I shouldn't guess, but I think she was close to 70. And I know she's trying to support her family. And she's doing like this. I said, you're hurting, aren't you? She says, yeah, I am. She said, I can't wait to get off. I said, when you get off? And she said something like 8. And that was at 3 o'clock. So those people really work hard. You know, they work hard. Just like your mailman walking by. Those guys work hard. Every kind of weather there is. Hey, hand them a tract. Hand them a tract. I had one. I handed a tract up. This lady up in the at the post office, boy, she'd give it to me. So, I can't take it. But I also knew that she was from a different persuasion of who she loved. But I said, okay, no problem. Put it back in the pocket. You know what Dr. Boyd used to say? Why mess with the deadheads? Go out and find somebody who wants Jesus, amen. They don't want it, give it to somebody else, amen. Hey, I love you folks. I want you to stay true to the Word of God. Stay close. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Read the Bible. It's for you. It's an easy book to read. Especially King James. King James is rated around 6th to 8th grade reading. Some of these other ones, they're up over college level that they said they meant. You know why they wanted you to read? They wanted to read, do the Bible? Because they wanted it to everybody to understand it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to understand it until you got Jesus in your heart. You ain't going to understand it until you got Jesus in your heart. It don't work. It don't work. Well, let's pray. Father, I pray you'd be with us tonight. Lord, help us to be a church that stands the test. Help us, Lord God, to stand by the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be very careful that we live separate from the world and we're not like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't smell like the world. We don't dress like the world. God, help us to be like you told us to be, different. Not weird, but different. Lord, I pray you bless this time. As about eyes are closed, I always like to do this, give you this opportunity to come to Christ. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Well, I'd sure like to know that tonight. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us now as we have the invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know that. I want to ask you to step out of that seat and walk down the aisle. And come right now and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be sure I'm saved. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Why don't you come at this time? I want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at.